Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 403. This week, we bring you the final hour of WWF Insurrection 2000. Hello, you people, and happy Memorial Day. I'm Pat McNeil. I am joined, as always, by my co-host and the other half of the podcast tag team champions of the world, Mr. Shane Shadows. Shane, are you ready to the hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 2000, when The Rock was champion and London was still safe from Kevin Spacey?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Let's wrap this thing up so we can watch better stuff.
Yes. Well, I mean, well, hopefully. And that stuff
this hasn't been bad.
Yeah. I don't know what the vote is as of this writing, but it'll probably be tallied by the time you listen to this. Right now, there's a tie between the one I suggested, which was Slamboree 97, and the one Shane suggested, which is AWA Battle by the Bay. So either way, though, I think we're going to be in good shape.
There's a tie?
Right now, yeah. Last time I checked, it was a tie. I mean, you can check, but, you know. So, yeah, but it would... Hopefully the fans will pick one or the other. And in terms of the podcast ratings. First of all, join us at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Second of all, had a big week for boosting the podcast in Australia.
Oh, right.
So
right.
Insurrection got us another shrimp on the Barbie, mate. So yeah, we're doing good. Yeah, that's about.
You're British like us.
Yeah, well, the British like us, the Australians like us. You know how it is. And we're rolling in India again. So yeah, thank you.
We're very big there. The crowd loves us.
And we got bumped up on Chartable's own global podcasting charts. So you know, we thank you. I mean, you're keeping us, you're keeping us afloat here, keeping us halfway relevant here, and we like that. Yeah. Halfway relevant. That's that space where we like to be, I think. All right. So what else do we have going on? Normally this is the part where I give the reviews of the show, but you know, Dave Meltzer and Wade Keller hadn't seen the show because they were not in the UK and therefore we're not getting the UK pay-per-views. I remember Meltzer went back and watched it later, and I'm pretty sure he liked the last two matches the best. And in an amazing coincidence, Shane, we're about to get to the last two matches.
Absolutely, and remarkably enough, Dave didn't like them, and they didn't. He liked them, and they didn't take place in Japan.
Now that's just unfair. That's just unfair. Yeah, well, Dave has liked a lot of matches. Meltzer has liked a lot of matches in 2022.
Well, that I'm sure that he has, but historically, yeah. A match is automatically better just because it took place in Japan, according to Dave Meltzer. I read Dave Meltzer's stuff and have for 30 years, but
okay. Well, you know, sometimes they have, you know, I don't know how to tell you this. Sometimes they have good matches in Japan.
They do.
It happens.
Great. Yeah. Okay. But everything in 4 stars from top to bottom.
Yeah. No, not usually. All right, Shane, it's commercial time. And this is where we start telling people about our Patreon over at patreon.com/waybackplayback. I've got the list of episodes here, and I thought it would be helpful to tell the people, you know, which of the episodes that were behind the paywall, you know, you can only get by subscribing to the Patreon, or I guess subscribing to PW Torch and looking for them there. If you're ready, Shane, and I know you don't have the list in front of you. Let's start with this. No, you don't. Madison Square Garden show from April 6, 1981. Bob Backlund and Stan Hansen in the steel cage.
Wow, that's a classic.
That is a good one. WrestleMania 6. We got to do the Hogan and the Warrior. Yeah, that's there on the Patreon. Definitely one of the all-time great patrons that I did with Jim Valley. Great American Bash 91. That's
there's one a great show for. Well, not a great show, but a great, yeah. I can see where you had a good time with that.
Well, how about the Wrestling Classic? That's one. That's one you can get on Patreon.
My favorite match from that was another Terry Funk match.
Yes.
Him against Moondog Spot.
Well, there was a lot going on that show, including the backstage antics of Lord Alfred Hayes.
It was great.
Oh yes, he always great. How about SummerSlam '98, the Highway to Hell with Austin and Undertaker?
one of the probably the highest, probably the most highly bought SummerSlam of all time.
Yeah. All that you get on the Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Plus, you get all of our current episodes ad-free and in advance of when you get them on the podcast feed. And I know you'll like that. And the bonus episodes. Like, for example, Shane and I have a bonus episode, which is going up shortly. It is WWF Best of Championship Wrestling on TBS, December 15th, 1984. Yes, this is when they bought the TBS time slot. And so they're on there, and then the whole hour is plugging the Christmas night show at the Omni in 1984 of Hogan and Orndorff.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
You know, you get the bonus episodes if you're part of the Black Scorpion tier, and along with all the other stuff. And you get access to our archives, all 402 shows now, as part of our Time Traveler tier for just $4.89 a month. Plus, I mean, even if you're just listening for free, there's like 4 years worth of shows. There's literally over 200 shows on the free podcast feed. And a lot of those have Shane on them. And I know you like that.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you like me on the more you play me, the more you pay me. So,
yep. I'm only sorry, Shane, that you missed doing the Brutus Beefcake Coliseum video episode with us.
I actually have that tape.
Ridiculous as that sounds.
Yeah. I bought it at a clearance of a video store.
That's why we pay Shane the big bucks and all sorts of, yeah. Yep. So it's all there. It's hundreds of episodes. It's Wayback Playback on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Wayback Playback, what the world is watch-alonging. Anyway, so we left off at 1 hour, 34 minutes and 7 seconds with our last two matches ahead of us. Is that about where you are?
Yes.
Okay. And we're about to, we've got the side view of the Titantron. We're about to go to the entrance for our WWF European champion. So if we could all hit play together in 3, 2, 1, let's go. All right, there we go. Yes. Okay, Eddie Guerrero and the Ninth Wonder of the World, China. And it's sad that neither of them are with us right now. So.
Yes. One of the strangest combinations in wrestling lore.
Yeah, but you know, it worked for what they were trying to do. So, and it let them turn Eddie back babyface for a while.
Yeah, it showed a different side of his personality.
Yeah, and I mean, and apparently both, you know, all three, you know, Eddie and Joni and Vicky Guerrero all thought it was a great storyline. So,
hey, yeah. It's always great when you're making six figures.
Yeah, I know.
High six figures. This must have been. I mean, it's been a while, but this is shortly after their debut, isn't it? Because Eddie's wearing that brace on his arm.
January. Yes, they debuted. I want to say February. So yeah, less than 3 months, probably.
He's still wearing. He injured his arm on the
frog splash. Match. Yeah. Okay, so the deal is Guerrero's the European champion, Jericho's the Intercontinental champion. When they get to the ring, there's going to be a coin toss to determine whose title is on the line tonight.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Okay. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. And the referee gets a rose, which is nice.
That is touching. I think it's Tim White, isn't it? Tim White getting a rose.
It's like a twisted version of The Bachelor, yes. Okay. Yeah, and China's trying to keep a straight face, which is, yeah. Given that she was usually pretty good about, you know, about being stone-faced out there, Eddie must have been talking some trash.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch any of her adult work?
No.
Haven't either.
Somebody from the Torch, one of the contributors, took it upon himself to review One Night in China, and the review was disturbing enough that I didn't really feel like, checking it out. Yeah.
His accent wasn't as heavy later on.
No.
I went to a voice coach or something. Who knows? They shouldn't have. I don't know. Shouldn't have wore heels when she was with him.
Well, I think that was part of the deal, because obviously Vince thought it was funnier if she's in heels.
Yeah. She sees towers over him.
So Joni speaks fluent Spanish because, as if you remember her autobiography, one of her early jobs was selling pagers to drug dealers. So.
Ah.
Well, I mean, the job wasn't technically selling pagers to drug dealers, but that's who was buying them.
So, I remember that I got a copy of her book, If They Only Knew, at the Dollar Tree.
Yes, that's where I got mine.
Yeah. It didn't seem like it had been out very long before it was at the Dollar Tree.
It wasn't. That was not a great wrestling book.
No.
And I think that, you know, maybe a better ghostwriter could have put together something that was more coherent, but I don't know. Okay.
I got a couple chapters into it and gave up on it. Kind of like that with especially books about subjects that I'm pretty well versed in, you know.
Yeah. There we go. That would have been, and obviously... Obviously, that would have been quite a different book if it had been written after she was done with WWF. So.
Yeah.
That might have been worth more than a dollar.
The Hunter years, the Stephanie years, the Sean Waltman years, the porn years.
Oh, I would have loved to hear what she said when she walked into Vince's office and after finding out that her boyfriend was with Stephanie now. That would have been... And allegedly informed Vince that this was going on and figured out that Vince already knew about it. Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. She had to feel pretty foolish.
Mm. Yeah.
There's nothing good about that.
No, that's
good about someone being made a fool of like that.
No, I can't imagine that would have been good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Wow. EOC.
This okay. 2000, is this after or before she did that whole deal with Jeff Jarrett?
This is after. This is after that, and this is after they did that bit where Jericho and China were sharing the Intercontinental title.
Which was
miserable, yeah.
See, the Attitude Era gets a lot of good run because of the top stuff was so good, but a lot of the middle to bottom stuff was...
Well, people just hated that story.
Yeah. Well, they're all, we'll just have them...
Share the title. And the narrative that Jericho couldn't work and China could, that sort of ended up going away. So
yeah. I wonder who was pushing that one.
Oh, I can't imagine. Okay, yeah. Anyway, so Eddie Guerrero's European title is on the line. Even though Eddie called the coin, he lost, so. All right, here we go. European title match, Guerrero and Jericho. And look, they're coming. Hey.
And we're underway.
They're fighting like there's something at stake. That's good. And they're fighting like they don't get along, which is, that's what you want here.
Which is a great additive to a wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
Leapfrog coming.
Ooh.
Another one. Oof. He was compensating. He was overcompensating on that bump.
Yeah.
He ordinarily would have taken that differently, but with that foot, with his arm in that condition, he overcompensated. It wasn't very clean. And I'm sorry to say this, but I can't ignore it any further. The size of the zits on Eddie's back are just unreal.
Well, I mean, he's also
a reality of being a small guy in a cosmetic business, not to mention a guy trying to get a major push with a new company with a serious injury.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, it was, and he wasn't the only one who had to put on, you know, who put on a lot of muscle, you know, to build himself up to try and get
it. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me in the sense this isn't a competitive sport per se.
No.
A cosmetic sport.
No, but you do recognize, as we all do, that, you know, you add that, I mean, a guy who does a lot of high flying, you add muscle mass, it's gonna change, you know.
Yes.
It's
absolutely. It's gonna change the how they work. And I would dare say Eddie Guerrero in WCW is a far better wrestler, and Eddie Guerrero in WWE is a far better worker.
Yeah, that's fair.
We're working is, as you and I have discussed probably hundreds of times over the years of our friendship and relationship, working is not what one does in terms of moves.
Right. Yeah, there's technical wrestling, which is, you know, or being a mechanic, and, you know.
Yes,
and there's being able to work, and
yes, and mechanics usually don't draw money.
And well, and we're lucky in the year 2000 to have, you know, to have a bunch of guys on top who could do both. So
really, we do.
What, in 2000 we were?
Oh, it's all 2000. Okay, I'm sorry, I kind of fell asleep at the wheel there for a second. Yeah, in 2000 there was a lot of guys who could do both.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were saying 2022.
Yeah. Well, 2022. I'm months behind on my wrestling viewing, but I just got to watch the AEW promo where Jericho introduced the Jericho Appreciation Society and got all the heat by announcing that he is a sports entertainer, which, you know, which he knew darn well what he was in. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a brilliant guy.
Yep.
I mean, he's gotten. I'm sure. A rather significant paycheck from Tony Khan for the last 4 years for some of the least impressive work of his career.
Yeah, but I mean, I know, but he is. It's not like he's not trying to get the younger guys over. So
no. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that in the full body of his work, and Chris Jericho's done everything there is to do, and is without a doubt, in my estimation, is. If there's a real wrestling Hall of Fame, Jericho belongs in it.
Yeah, he doesn't really have a lot to prove anymore, you know.
No, he has nothing to prove, and I'm glad that he's getting paid very well to do what he does. He earned it.
Classic spot where Jericho chases Eddie, runs smack into China. There you go. Okay, and we're going up. And I think this match is probably longer, a little longer than they would have given it otherwise, because Benoit and Angle is a little shorter. So, yeah, but it would be like 2003 before, you know, before I think Vince McMahon, you know, the end of 2003 before Vince McMahon sort of got Eddie and decided, hey, this guy can, you know, he can be a top guy.
It's always very hard for Vince to wrap his mind around, and sometimes it's hard for me just as a fan,
right,
of wrestling and a participant obviously on a much smaller scale than any of these guys ever did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very hard to wrap your mind around. I mean. If a guy is so over that you don't notice how big he is, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you've done it all right there.
Yes.
You know, if you know, Rey Mysterio, I think, falls in that category. He was always so good. It was,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that you can just forget that he was, like, in reality, the size of a child at different points. I mean, he certainly isn't now.
No. He is, in fact, smaller than his child.
Yeah. Yeah, Dominic's huge.
Yeah.
A little surfboard action here.
Oh, here we go. Got him. Nope. Oh. Okay. Well, Tim White has his working boots on.
Yeah, he does. You've got no choice. You get hooked up with guys like this. You got to be up and down the whole way. Incredible.
All right.
A good referee is hard to come by.
That's true.
Obviously, I mention referees pretty much every week we do this.
I know.
We
had trouble coming by above average referees for a while, so.
It was very difficult because I think that a lot of referees are just frustrated wrestling school, or, you know, they're frustrated wrestlers or wrestler wannabes, and it's a difficult.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a tough balance. It is.
Yeah. It's a hard, it's a hard thing to do because you don't inherently, the referee is a guy who should at least appear as though he is in charge of what's going on. So if you go too far in disrespecting the referee,
right,
that's bad. It's bad if the referee overasserts himself.
Yes.
Vince has always historically acted like his referees weren't in the ring.
Right.
I mean, not completely, but I mean, for most part, over the last ever so many years, you don't hear any conversation or talk about who the ref is.
Yeah, and that's deliberate. That was actually an order at one point. Not to mention referees' names on shows.
Yeah, which I don't understand that way of thinking. You know, I mean, I think every referee has a personality of his own in terms of his work, and I think. Sometimes you can, I mean, you don't have to overstate it, but I mean, there are times you should notice that, you know, his style of officiating doesn't lend itself to a certain guy's style in a storyline sense.
Right.
And,
Wow.
It's just like, you know, if you talk about, in the sense of Major League Baseball umpires, I mean, there's certain ones who are known for having questionable strike zones.
But we're back to the issue where Vince McMahon doesn't want you to think about, you know, about pro wrestling that deeply. Doesn't want you to think about it like a sport.
Yeah.
Okay, but then WWE wants you to have all the passion for wrestling that you have for a sport. So.
Yeah, as they like to say, they have their little catchphrases. They like it when you like what they do.
Right.
You like what we do when you do what we do.
Yeah. You know?
For a man who loves pronouns, I mean, his vagary in that regard is a little questionable. And a two. Timmy White was on his way down for three. I met him when he was on tour with Flair for Flair's book. Tell you what, he probably never drank so much. Oh!
You hear that about people who travel with Ric Flair.
Yeah. You figure this is a guy who had to travel with Ric Flair and was kind of the handler for Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a pretty impressive career resume.
Yeah.
Oh, look.
That's you earning your money, too. Okay.
Absolutely. And so are these guys. These guys are really putting in a big effort here.
Okay. Ross is speculating that his kidney, you know, Guerrero's kidney has hit the ring apron on the way back. Oh, and here's China. Hi, China. Yeah.
Oh, she's coming in after Jericho.
Mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, somehow or another, I don't think this is going to do it.
I don't think it's a finish either. Nope. There you go. Well played. Okay.
She's getting so frustrated.
I know. Oh, there we go. Jericho carries himself over and double powerbomb. Yep.
Right off the top of your head, what do you think the best match Chris Jericho ever had was?
Eesh, that's a...
On pay-per-view or anything significant. Of course, I mean, if you didn't see it, you didn't see it, but...
Yeah, well, we did get to see him and John Cena, and that was a fun one.
Yeah.
One time. Yeah. That would be... him and Shawn Michaels, I think, a couple times. That's usually my go-to.
I think one of the most underrated WrestleMania matches ever was Jericho and Shawn from 19? Whatever. Yeah.
Seattle,
yeah. From Seattle. Yeah, that was, I think that's one of your really good unheralded WrestleMania cards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Enough people talk about how good that one was. Yeah,
that was a really good show. Okay, yeah, so Eddie with the belt shot, by the way, and keeping the European title.
Yep. Keeping his belt and Shawn or Jericho didn't lose his.
Right. Okay. Oh no! Now we're gonna get some bickering between Shane and Triple H.
Yeah, I see that.
Hey. Hold on a second. Yeah.
Yep. You see, now this to me, in its own way, was a missed opportunity, in my opinion.
Right.
I was a advocate for 2 or 3 years, a couple years back when they were talking about WrestleMania matches, about putting these two against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And not because the match in and of itself, because the styles were so different. Shane is more of a...
Right.
Shane McMahon's a big risk taker, but he's a glorified backyard wrestler, in all honesty. He was never really...
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little harsh, but you know what I mean. And Triple H was more a classic professional wrestler. The family story.
All right. The family story. Well, I mean, Triple H in 2000, and we talked about this in 2000, was about as good as there was in North America. And he, you know.
Yeah, he was very good. I think that the problem with Triple H was... I think so much of the so-called smart wrestling crowd hated him because they understood that there was a political angle to what he was doing.
Yeah.
Or he was the boss's daughter. Stephanie took a hell of a bump for her mom there.
This was before she was a mom, so.
She took it for Linda.
Of Linda?
That's what I mean. Stephanie took a bump for her mother.
Yeah.
Linda pushed her and she went flying.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Stephanie wasn't from her brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that you could make a legitimate case with Triple H is that he buried a ton of baby faces.
Mm-hmm.
And by just not. He didn't pay them the proper accord in the matches. No matter who's winning and who's losing has usually very little to do with who got buried or who got over. You know, you can lose a match and not put a guy over, you know?
Right.
I think that he was just kind of guilty of that. And you know, but I mean, a great talent. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, probably the best heel of the last 20 years in ring as a worker, working as a working heel, probably the best heel of the last 20 years. I never bought into him as a babyface.
I don't think he particularly wanted to be a babyface either. So
there are certain times you have to, just to kind of freshen things up, you know, so forth like that. But it's he was obviously far better, and much like many heels, as his career wound down, they learned to respect him. I've never seen, I'm on a commercial here, I've never seen Shotzi.
Oh, okay. Shotzi Blackheart.
A Happy Days character.
Why not go ahead and pause this at 157:43 and we can pick up the Brock's promo here when Shane's done with 10
seconds.
Okay. I'm watching Shotzi Blackheart.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah, Shotzi does sound like a Happy Days character. That's true.
See?
All right. So The Rock is starting his promo. He's got silenced Kevin Kelly.
Michael Cole.
Oh, Michael Cole, yeah.
They don't make him like this guy anymore.
No. But
they won't allow him to be, but I mean.
No, they won't, but.
And that's why they're still trying to get you to come Rock, back.
Rock says London, and yeah, then the crowd goes nuts. So yeah, this is the era where Rock could pretty much say anything, and people weren't tired of him.
He's not the kind of guy you get tired of.
Yeah. He is cooking. Okay. You're probably a little behind, but yeah, there. People's eyebrow. Rock is cooking. Okay. All right. Yes. Yeah, so whose side is Vince on in this match? Well, I don't know. Does it matter? Oh, here we go. Speaking of McMahon's, here we go. I think we're getting ready.
I'm a little behind you.
Okay. I think this is a Shane McMahon in Titantron, so Shane and Daddy are on their way to the ring.
Here comes the money. He permanently changed my nickname, though. Everybody who I've worked with ever since always calls me Shane O'Mac or Shano.
Yeah. Well, sorry. Can't be helped. A triple threat match. All right, for the title.
Yeah, you're right. I'm a little behind you, but here comes
and the relatively young Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Yeah.
Come on, come on, come and get it. Come on.
So you see them side by side, and they don't. You see the resemblance.
Oh yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
There's no question. There's no question about it, in fact.
And this is the Vince McMahon everybody remembers. I mean, obviously he's 75, 76 years old and so forth now.
And it's time for my time.
Which was just a really shitty song.
Yep. Sound of Dying Pigeons brings Paul Levesque out to the ring. Yes. Yes, and the lyrics about how all the other main eventers have gotten their shot, and now it's my time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fortunately, he had the stroke to get his music changed once or twice or three or four times.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about the game and how you play it.
That's exactly right.
I remember thinking, might even back then, I was like, yeah, I don't think Stephanie McMahon's all that hot. But I look at her now, and I'm looking at her 24 years ago, like, Stephanie McMahon was pretty hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially for a wealthy young, you know, woman with
the problem with
Steph in the wrestling business.
She never really learned.
That's true.
She never had to learn how the business really works.
Well, that's the other part of it. She never, yeah, no, you're right. She never did have to learn.
She didn't have, she was like, when she was on the writing team, and 2 weeks later, she was the head of the writing team. Yep. She never worked anywhere. She right. never had to, and I guess this was a lesson that Vince himself forgot over time, is that you, if you want to be a heel authority figure, you got to show your ass and let your baby faces get over on you. And there was a mm-hmm. time where they just quit doing that.
Yeah, there was. Ruthless aggression, that. Yeah, exactly.
It just became about them and their family. And they were always going to make everyone look like fools. And
yep,
people will still come and see it. But
and
it,
there it, and, you know, there was a correlation between that starting to happen and the audience dropping off.
But, yes, something that they never really took notice of. And they didn't have to once these networks started paying them $1 billion for TV contracts.
Right.
And it was, now it was even less important than ever.
Yes.
To make sure that the baby faces look good.
However, we are watching this on a Memorial Day weekend after, you know, word has leaked that, you know, Stephanie got sort of demoted before she took this leave of absence. And there's all sorts of and pictures and stuff surfaced about Stephanie not wearing her wedding ring at WrestleMania and them having them bickering and having difficulties with each other. So, yeah, but I mean,
I haven't heard any of that, and I don't, you know, and I mean,
I don't give, yeah, there's not, yeah, there's obviously nothing official going on, but, and there yeah. has, and I haven't heard anything about it from a source that I would consider, you know, a actual source. So,
yeah, I think everyone, I mean, people, what do I call it today? The butthurt internet wrestling community, the people who are always going to say, have something to say,
oh, yeah,
or some kind of a dig. Like people still talking about Mick Foley not getting mentioned in the Undertaker's retirement speech. You know, if Mick Foley doesn't care, maybe we should drop it.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
it's not that big of an insult.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this is unfortunately what we've come down to is the hardest of hardcore fans in this business,
right,
who just try to find everything that they can possibly overanalyze about it instead of, you know, just watching it for what it is and enjoying it and maybe finding some critiques. Or it used to be when a promotion wasn't good, people just quit watching it. Just like, for example,
well, that's kind of, you know, well, yeah, well, you know, that sort of fits too.
Yeah, but you know, now everyone's an armchair expert, you know, and you know, maybe the
right.
I think that the problems in the WWF or WWE right now are beyond the, but the man on the screen, it's beyond his comprehension, because his, as great as he's been as a success as a promoter, most of his success has come with the fact of being the exception that proved the rule.
Yeah.
And he was never a great booker. He was never a great wrestling guy, but he understood how to get mm-hmm. talent over and how to let talent get themselves over. But all I right. think great wealth becomes great ignorance. He started to believe that the show was more about him than it was mm-hmm. about the talent. And now that's the truth.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of it. And he also hit a point where he, you know, he was tired of having to rely on the talent and having to share credit with the talent. And so now he really doesn't as much.
He also got tired of losing the talent, because talent will leave. But
yes,
sometimes you have to be able to miss someone. You know, how can I miss you if you won't go away?
Right.
And but I think he got tired of making guys who would leave and just decides, well, my kids are never going to leave, which also proved to be
incorrect.
False.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, the point is Triple H is back at work in Stanford in 2022, and Stephanie's on leave of absence. And
so he's working and she's home, you know. Trust me, if he's still working, they're not breaking up. There's no way.
And I mean, you know, yeah.
Look at the bump and feed here. Right. Just take notice.
Yes.
Boom, boom, boom. They're going to do that reverse whip here, I think, in a second.
Oh, yeah, I'm slightly ahead of you because right now they're fighting outside the ring. So.
Okay. Yeah. I'm slightly ahead of me.
Okay.
Ooh,
and.
Ooh. Big up and over. Okay. Now we're.
And they're fighting out. And there we go. All right. Triple H has the advantage. He took Rock over the railing and into the railing here.
You mean, I can't say from what I've seen so far, there's been certain aspects of the Nick Khan regime that I think have been good. One of them I really like a lot. Look at it. There you go. One of the things I like a lot is the Saturday night pay-per-views.
Yeah, I like that.
I think I like watching them on Saturdays better than I do Sundays.
Oh yeah,
big fight feel.
I'd be more likely to be working for the Torch now because you know it just kills you. I mean, it just kills you if you're up until like after 11 on a Sunday night on the East Coast, and then you got to go and do like a 1 hour post game show and write up your review and all that crap. No offense to anybody, because most of us have to work in the morning.
Yeah, there's the kayfabe breaker, in the words of Pat McNeil. I saw that.
Yeah, backing up into the reverse neck breaker because you miss it because you don't hook it the first time when you should have. I did. Okay, and now, well, I'm already, I've got Triple H. Yeah, they've got Rock in the corner, and they're sort of, and Hunter and Shane are sort of tense about who's going to do what.
Well, that's the
whole point of the past 2.5 hours building this up. Shane's like, here, let me take some shots here. Here, let me try something. Okay. And Hunter's like, okay, sure. All right. Shane's doing his rope-a-dope stuff here. And Hunter's just sort of standing there with his hands on his hips saying, okay, yeah.
All right. Let's see here, there.
Crappy punches. Okay. And now Hunter's like, okay, let me try this. Oh, Hunter doing the Ollie shuffle into a punch. Very nice.
Shane became so much better later on. It is very obvious.
Hunter does the flip-flop and fly into a right hand. There we go. Nice. And Shane's like, no, more like this. Here we go. And there's Rock. And there's Rock with the comeback. Feed. All right, there we go.
See, but Shane's not very big like he would be later on physically either.
Yeah, that's true. So
the thing about this match is that
Rock with a flip flop, double bionic elbow.
Shane is not the level worker of the other two. That's
no,
clear.
He's not.
But
he should shouldn't be for one thing.
Yeah, but that's not how they're portraying him. They're portraying him as an equal, which that's the problem.
That was always the problem with Shane.
Yes. You treat him as an equal to these guys. The thing is that now when he comes out and works, he's a bigger star than the guy he's working. And he's better in the sense he's a better worker than a lot of
Vince with the choke. Yeah, that's which is unfortunate.
He understands what to do. And here's a guy who understands everything so well, but physically cannot do it.
Right.
Vince is not a physical worker.
No.
He understands what needs to be. He understands the character nuance and stuff. But to physically get in there and do anything, for most of what Vince has ever done physically in his quote unquote career, has been an embarrassment.
Yeah,
but his timing and facials and always, just the idea that of who he was,
right,
always carried him.
Okay, so a bunch of near falls by Triple H, and now he's going after Mike Chioda, and Chioda's in his face. Oh, is that Brian Hepner? Brian Hepner.
Yeah, not yet. It's not.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. Anyway. Off the ropes. All right. Hunter's going for the sleeper. He was trying to get the sleeper over at this point. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And there we are. It's
okay. All right. Sleeper so could put. Oh. Answer. Oh, there we go. Okay. And now is Rock fading? Is he gonna get him with the sleeper hold? Even though the Rock has never been finished off by a sleeper hold in his career, so.
Well, not that I'm aware of.
But he's working it here. Okay,
and they're trying. I mean, the efforts are
getting them down into the.
Now we've given up on the sleeper. Now we're just into a reverse chin lock.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
At one point or another, I mean, this is what the rules. Whoever wins the fall wins the match, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so at one point or another, you have to figure that the
Shane's going to jump in. Yeah.
Shane and Hunter, you know, because Shane has to, you know, Hunter wins. I mean, does he really win? I mean, you can say the family got it, but I mean.
Right. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Now we go to a double sleeper spot. Oh, and Shane with the jawjacker, and all three men are down.
I like it. I love that. It's goofy, but you know, the triple sleeper spot.
Here we go. Boom, boom. And Rock and Hunter have worked each other so many times at this point that they, you know.
They can do it without thinking.
Right.
You know, they have to find ways to incorporate Shane into the match, if you've noticed.
Yes. Yes.
You know. Duck it. Coming back at it high.
Oh, no, Shane with a save. All right. And Vince goes, what? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My bad, Hunter. Yeah. Hey, you're bad? Yeah. Okay. And now we get the argument. Oh, and Shane with a cheap shot on Hunter now. And he's going up. And up. Oh.
Horrible looking.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Fortunately, the Rock is up. There we go. All right. Rock with the DDT. Stephanie on the apron. Up. Oh. Rock's got Shane, but Stephanie's got the referee. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Okay. Up. Oh. Rock, look behind you. Yep. There we go.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to this a little early. I think we're going to feel like we're going to this a little early, but maybe not. Stack him in the corner. Oh, here we go. Oh, my God. Shane going for the pedigree. On the Rock. And... No, we're not that far along that we're going to let Shane hit it yet, so.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, can Shane do this? Well, all right. I mean, I've seen worse slingshot spots. Here we go.
Catapult. Oh, but he caught Kyoto.
Referee Kyoto down. Oh, and Vince trips the Rock. But we have no referee.
Watch it.
Oh, and Hunter's got the belt. Oh. But there's still no referee.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Patented belt shot there.
Okay, here we go. Vince calling for a second referee. Run, run, run like the wind. Jerry Briscoe. Oh, man. Jerry Briscoe gets a two count.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I'm a little behind you, but yeah, that is old Gerald.
Yep. Not messing around. Okay, it looks like Shane is on the outside. He's going to get a chair.
So at what point do we, does he get, does Jerry get knocked out and we get Pat in there?
I'm guessing in just about a minute, or just a few seconds. Yep, there we go. Oh, no, Shane accidentally whacks Hunter with a chair. Oh, no.
Who would have ever saw that coming?
Yeah. Oh, and Rock gets Shane out of the ring. Oh, and there's Mr. McMahon in the ring with the blind side. Okay. And now Vince has the chair. Nope. The Rock is not going to get blindsided with a chair.
No.
Oh, there we go. Pedigree time. And that's it. Pedigree, we're going to have a new champion. 1, 2. No, Rock kicks out. Well, Rock gets the shoulder up anyway.
Unos. Dos.
Negatory.
You would think that Jerry, as the official and McMahon's number one or number two henchman, would have been.
We'll just go ahead and count three anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it didn't occur to Jerry he could do that.
Oh, no.
We're going to get a second pedigree.
Jerry just took one.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, Vince.
He was probably 60 years old here in this. And he probably can still kick.
Oh, and Vince is going to pull the referee shirt off of Jerry Briscoe and put it on himself. Oh, my goodness. Vince, you don't actually have to put the shirt on. Oh, wait, here we go. Here comes Earl Hebner. Earl Hebner is here. 1, 2, and Earl pulls Vince out of the ring. Oh, my goodness. Earl Hebner just screwed Vince McMahon.
Anything to become a baby face at this point.
Oh, and Vince punches the ring post when trying to hit Earl. You don't want to punch a ring post, by the way. Don't do it. And Triple H going up.
Perfect expression by Vince, too.
Oh, and Shane crotches Triple H on the top rope. Accidentally? We'll say accidentally, sure.
Why not?
Okay. Oh, no. Vince is chasing after Earl Hebner. And, folks, you got to see Vince McMahon run, so that was worth something. And there's the Rock Bottom.
Rock Bottom.
All right, here we go. Here comes Shane, and there goes Shane. All right. And guess what we're going to get, folks?
The People's Elbow.
That's right. On Shane McMahon. Which is giving the people what they want. And The Rock gets the win. Triple H doesn't have to take the loss. And the people go home happy.
Yes. 1, 2.
Hey. Congratulations, Rock. What a victory we have here tonight. That's right.
The best laid plans.
Yep.
Rock escapes with the title.
Do, 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 do. Okay. Yay. Yay. And no, The Rock himself will be leaving with the title.
Yes. Almost right of the world.
Yes, it is. Okay, The Rock has prevailed. An insurrection.
All is right in the world.
That's right. Nobody's ever, but The Rock still has the bullseye on his chest. Oh, and Vince has blood on his hand. Not much, but you know. Hope he didn't actually punch that ring post. And that's your show, folks. That is Insurrection 2000. Yay. All right, now. This is normally the time, Shane, where we go over what happened next. And since I didn't write it down, we're going to. All right. So after this, I guess they spent Sunday traveling back to the United States. And Monday, it's WWF Raw taping from the Nassau Coliseum. The Rock was off all that week. I think he was doing some sort of movie thing. So on that show, you got for a dark match, you got your hardcore champion, Davey Boy Smith, beating Midian. Then they taped an episode of Jacked, headlined by Hardcore Holly defeating S.A. Rios with Lita. And the main event from Raw, we have another title change. It is Chris Benoit defeating Chris Jericho for the Intercontinental title after special troubleshooting referee Triple H stops the match. Okay, well, gosh, you hate to see it. Also on the show, it was Edge and Christian, the tag team champions, beating the Acolytes by DQ when Bradshaw hits Edge with the ring bell. And then the Acolytes get attacked after the match by Bull Buchanan and the Big Boss Man. Okay, well, so that happened. Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay, let's get to WCW. And again, I apologize for doing this on the fly because it's just been that kind of a day, Shane.
Been that kind of a week.
Yeah, you get a lot of those. I guess you get a lot of those when you have kids. I've noticed that for the past, few years. Yeah. All right. So there was a Raw. Oh, there was a Nitro at the Trans World Dome in St. Louis. You know, the Dome Stadium where the St. Louis Rams are playing. And they packed that dome with 6,545 people. Oh, God.
Wow.
Yep. On that show, let's see. Okay, what do we have on? Oh, no, no. Oh, actually, no. That wasn't the next show. The next show was Slamboree for WCW. Slamboree 2000 on Sunday the 7th in Kansas City in front of 7165, where they did the classy thing and did a storyline where Canyon fell from the roof in the same building where Owen Hart fell from the roof. Yeah. Classy.
Garbage.
Yeah. On that show, it was Hulk Hogan defeating Billy Kidman. Let's see, in 1330. Okay. When
Billy Kidman was going to be the next big star. Yeah,
that's right. Eric Bischoff was the guest referee, but he was knocked it, but Hogan powerbombed him through a table. Okay. Well, so something good came from that. And the main event, it is Jeff Jarrett regaining the WCW title in a triple cage match. Let's see, when David Arquette turns on Diamond Dallas Page, because that made all sorts of bleeping sense right there. Yeah. Okay.
Just nonsensical garbage.
Yeah. Yep.
No garbage. Wonder. And I was a big fan of WCW all through the 80s.
I know.
Because the parent company was the Crockett.
I loved it in the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just...
And it was on a.
The way it died, it was just embarrassing.
It was awful the way that happened. All right, and the next ECW show was Hardcore Heaven 2000 on pay per view and from Milwaukee. I have no idea what the attendance was, and I guess it doesn't matter. Let's see here. Okay, yeah, Jerry Lynn beats Rob Van Dam with a steel chair, and in RVD's return match from injury. And the ECW World title successfully defended by Just Incredible as he beat Lance Storm in the main event, freeing Lance up to head to WCW. How about that?
How about it?
All worked out very well, I think. Okay, so I rechecked the poll here, and here's where we are. It looks like, of course, we still got a couple days left, so you'll know by the time you watch this. 31% the people voting for Battle by the Bay. 31% of the people voting for Slammery 97, 23% for Clash of Champions 19, and 15% for SmackDown June 23rd, 2005, with with Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero, which, again, it was hard to screw up. And that feud, as silly as it was one of the highlights of the summer of 2005. So,
yes.
So we've got all that going for us.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
For over 10 years, Shane Hurricane Helms has been a pioneer in the podcast game. And now, the Creative Control Network proudly brings to you the record-breaking, history-making, longest-reigning, most entertaining cruiserweight champion of all time, Shane Hurricane Helms, and the Highway to Helms podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your favorite podcast may be, you'll find me, Shane Hurricane Helms. And if you don't know, Google me, biatch!
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. Let's do the bonus match, and if it sucks, we'll just edit that right out, okay? YouTube?
Let me get there.
Yep, okay.
Good day, sunshine.
Okay. In the meantime, I will remind you that, obviously, if you want to follow us on Twitter, I am at Real Pat McNeil, MCNEILL. Shane is at One Only Shane Shad One. And of course, Jim is at Jim Valley. And you can do what several of you have done and leave a 5, 6, or 7 star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Doesn't matter where you get your podcast from. Just leave a review if you love the show. Why don't we just go back to the search, type in WCW Worldwide and see what pops itself up. And yeah, happy Memorial Day.
Memorial Day weekend, 1996. It would have been the passing of my grandfather.
Sorry to hear that.
Jim. So this is, 26 years this weekend.
Okay.
We'll get a little mention in there for the old fellow. So.
I lost my grandfather in 95. And,
yeah. Yeah. Wow. 95, 96. And we met in 97. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
So just WCW Worldwide, there's like 75, the icon there. With
there's a list. Yeah, keep going. Bobby. Okay, you go past the list. Let's do, there's one from 94 and there's one from 92, both from Four Wrestling Fans account, so you'll have video quality. Take a pick.
What do you think, 423.94?
Let's go ahead and hit that. Okay, play, and we'll get to... Okay, I'm at 0 minutes, 0 seconds, and I'm looking at Kevin Sullivan coming up.
Yes.
Okay, we're hitting play together in 3, 2, 1. All right. Oh, boy, the Sullivans are here. There's a slamboree. Thunder and Lightning in tag action. Vader. Ric Flair answers the challenge of William Regal, Stephen Regal. Bunkhouse Buck is here. Brian Pillman's here. And Mayhem Month.
It's very clean-looking production. This is when Bischoff first came into play.
These are the Disney tapings, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to kick it up, and we get a Johnny B. Badd match. All right. Could be worse.
I liked the look. There was always a lot of energy in the arena. You know, you can say what you will about wrestling being recorded 6 months ahead of time for syndication purposes. You
wasn't
know,
crazy about that. Yeah, but
yeah, wasn't my cup of tea. But they
there's the great Gary Capetta's there.
Yes, oh, absolutely, great announcer.
Jesse Ventura and Tony Schiavone have the announcing duties. Randy Pee Wee Anderson is your referee.
What member of the Samoan family is this?
I have no idea. It's not Kimo the Samoan. I know that.
Not Kimo. No mask.
Coconut Savage is in the ring.
Coconut Savage. Jeez.
The lesser known member of the Poffo family.
Yeah. I was going to say Dusty had to come up with this.
Daddy, you're going to be Coconut Savage.
You're going to be the Coconut Savage. And Randy's in the back, pissed off that he thinks someone's knocking.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. No, I don't.
Almost looks like one of the old, what were their names? Jesus. Tio and, they wrestled in Continental as a tag team. I don't know if that helps you a lot. We haven't done a lot of Continental stuff. We did do a Continental show though, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Tio and Topo, the head, not like, I want to say they were the headhunters, but they weren't like the Abdullah the Butcher looking headhunters. I mean, it was, I think they were called like the New Guinea.
Something like that.
Either way, I mean, this guy's obviously not a rookie.
Okay. If you do end up watching this whole episode, the main event will be, for those of you who decide to do that on Memorial Day, the main event will be Flying Brian versus Bunkhouse Buck, which is nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Hey, and there should be a promo up after this match. So,
Bunkhouse was one of those guys I always thought about trying to book him.
Yeah,
just because I thought it might be interesting. Yeah, Bunkhouse and Buck, baby.
Bunkhouse Buck, daddy, Coconut Savage, man.
You can say what you will about these amusement park crowds, but there's no lack of enthusiasm here on this group. People are enjoying what they're seeing. Mark Miro didn't do much for me, but Johnny B. Badd, again, a Dusty Rhodes creation.
I mean, you talk about taking a gimmick and running with it. Johnny B. Badd did that.
Nice dropkick from the Coconut Savage.
Yep. Okay. Hey, Daddy, you look kind of like a Samoan. Let's get you in there.
You're calling the Coconut Savage.
It's the Coconut Savage.
Randy, get all pissed off.
This wasn't his first. Got record of him as an enhancement guy back in '93. So.
Coconut Savage.
Yeah. Okay. Using that name, yes.
I just don't remember that, but. Physically, we've already discussed who I think he resembles, a veteran guy from,
He obviously is a guy. Obviously, is a veteran. I mean,
Yeah, he knows his stuff. He's in the right spot. All right, there we go. Bumps are crisp.
That's the finish, folks. How do you like that?
Johnny B with a good victory this week.
All right.
Didn't even get a hair out of place on it.
Perfect. Let's go to Mean Gene Okerlund and see what promo we have before we wrap this up. Oh, he's with Colonel Parker.
How the hell with it? Let's do another one.
Yep. Okay.
Colonel Parker's here.
And he's talking, and Gene's interviewing him about the main event. Flying Brian and Bunkhouse Buck.
What a novel concept.
I know.
There's someone going on the scene here.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Right. Next. Yeah. When Buck gets done with Pillman, Dustin Rhodes is next on the list. Okay. Oh, here we go.
I knew someone was coming, and sure enough, it's Dustin.
All right.
Chasing off Colonel Parker like Jerry Jarrett should have in '79 in Memphis.
Yep. I'm guessing that Dustin wants some sort of a strap match with Buck.
I'm thinking. Yeah, there's something coming up here.
Yes, Mayhem. Every show in the month of May on Worldwide, there will be a different gimmick match. A different wrestler will get to pick his gimmick match against his rival.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember this well. And Mick Foley writes about it in his book, by the way. He had the first book. He gets he gets Vader on Worldwide. He gets him in a Falls Count Anywhere match. And, the match is brutal. And you got Heenan and Schiavone telling jokes. And, they're not taking it seriously. And it was a heck of a match.
It's all context, isn't it? Everything is context.
All right. Well, there we go.
Pay for it by the following.
Okay, and that's
a Hot Topics commercial.
Yep. All right. So, and we're up next. Oh, there's Tony and okay. I think that's enough of a bonus. But you can watch the rest of it if you want. That's what we're here for. All right. So, don't forget. We'll be back here next week, and we'll be doing something. We'll be doing either the AWA show or the Slambury 97 or even one of the other two choices, which is fine. And if you'd like to know more about Joni Lauer or Chris Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, Shane McMahon, or Triple H, you can go ahead and visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or the Wrestling Observer, or you can go download your local library app because they're all in books. Shane.
Same Wayback Time, same Playback Channel.
That's going to be coming up next week, and we're looking forward to it. Looking forward to bringing you great stuff throughout the entire summer here. It's going to be the summer of Wayback, Shane.
Summer of Wayback.
That's right.
I'm gonna take a bite into a block of cheese the size of a car battery.
There you go. That's the spirit. And hopefully you guys do the same and have a great Memorial Day holiday here in America. But until then, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.